RNZ National, and you might remember in March I spoke to Anna Connell from the spin-off about why she thought the police's social media approach was, to use her words, bad and foolish. Well, it now appears the police sought professional advice on their approach to the tune of $10,000. And George Block is the police reporter from the Otago Daily Times who went digging for this story, and he joins me now. Good evening, George.
Evening, Karen. How are you?
Good. Hey, it was you who requested information via the Official Information Act, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I requested a tranche of documents, just everything related to social media from the police, reports, briefings, emails, meeting minutes, communications. And we got a really interesting PowerPoint presentation that was from an independent social media marketing company called Socialites, and it was billed as an assessment of NZ Police's social media activity.
Well, what got you interested in this? They commissioned the audit well before Anna's comments, for example, on the spin-off, so they must have been thinking along the same lines themselves, but what made you interested in it?
I've been quite interested in the police's approach to social media. It seems, in some cases, quite casual. For instance, they post photos of wanted people on their district Facebook pages, and that can elicit some interesting and sometimes problematic comments that aren't moderated very heavily.
All right.
And also the approach taken to social media by police contrasts with the approach they take to professional journalists. Their media team sends quite sort of undescriptive and sometimes even bloodless responses to us. So I was just interested in sort of how they brief their staff on how to use social media.
How many people do you think that they have working social media? Is it like one person in the office, or do you think there's a team of people who do social media for the police?
It appears to be generally operational staff do it. In districts, and there's people who have admin privileges, and then there's people in the media team who have control over it as well.
I see.
So this audit was really interesting because it alluded to divisions within police on the high number of posts focused on puppies, police dog puppies. There was a quote in there that says, "As we know, this is a regular discussion point at police. We've also addressed puppies." And it concluded that they should sort of maybe dial back on these cute dog pictures and look at doing more operational photos of police in action.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking, are they police puppies or just puppies?
No, I think they're mostly police puppies.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. So they're not just getting puppies from anywhere and posting them.
No, but 55% of posts on the police social media channel that is assessed by this agency were sort of feel-good posts, things like puppies, whereas just 8% related to preventing crime and 16% to road safety warnings. So there has been quite a focus on that sort of feel-good, relatable content.
So they go from bloodless, in your words, in the what they put out to journalists, to this overly friendly in social media. So there's a happy medium required. Is that what came back from the agency Socialites?
They said that, and I quote, "I think we felt it was an easy win and it's lovely, but what we could do more of, and they should do more of, is photos of police out doing their job."
Well, I suppose, but how many people are going to comment on that?
Yeah,
I'm true. Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm just trying to think of the actual pictures that would come along with this. You know, here's Bill, you know, running after a crook in K Road or something.
That's right, yeah. And they've copped a bit of flack for their use of social media in the past. Earlier this year, they posted a photo on International Women's Day, or a post, praising a police officer in Second World War who took charge of an internment camp for Japanese women and children. And that struck a wrong note for a lot of people on Twitter, and it was quickly deleted. But yeah, so they have missed the mark in the past on that.
Do you think they're quite image conscious, the New Zealand police? It is different here, as you say, because we're talking about two different departments. So they really have to unify them, don't they? What would you prefer?
It's not really for me to say. I should say that this agency, Socialites, found that they said the police were doing a really good job on social media. They said, "We love the tone adopted by NZ Police. It's human and authentic, which is what we see effective use of social media as being all about." And they continued to say, Australian Federal Police are the closest example of a government agency using humour and humility effectively. And that quote was picked up by The Guardian Australia because they found it quite interesting that they'd say that, and then a year later the AFP would go and raid journalists. And a social media expert over there told The Guardian that who picked up this story, that there, in that case, could be a conflict between the social media messaging of police forces compared with the action, with the actual actions. So, yeah.
And what about the amount that was spent? This was public purse money?
It was $10,000 exactly.
And there's been some comment, more than a little actually, about what a waste of money that might have been.
I can't really comment on that. Some of these external audits, I imagine, cost a lot more. And in fact, when you OIA for these things, a lot more gets spent on consultants than that sort of $10,000.
Imaging consultants?
Well, police actually spent $968,000 on marketing last year in total. $170,000 roundabout was on Facebook advertising, and $74,000 was on print advertising. It gives you an idea of the amount of money they're spending on marketing.
Wow, nearly $1 million. Okay, so can you break that down in terms of what are the Facebook ads about?
It seems to be mainly about recruitment. They had that big push for the large number of new officers, I think 1,800 wanted, and that they are recruiting a lot more police, and they're also spending money on sort of bus ad shell posters and things like that.
Yes. Well, George, you know, as you're the police reporter, you'll know this. It's very important that the police do have a good interaction with the public. So they do have to do this, don't they?
That's right, yeah. And I guess it's the way for them in the 21st century to communicate with the public. We have a really good relationship with the cops down here. We have a morning meeting where they tell us what's going on. But the concern for working journalists, I think, is that their national media centre can sometimes not provide all the information that you want. They seem to never want to comment on any ongoing investigations because these investigations are so fragile, they'll just fall apart if they comment on them. And I know a lot of journalists are really concerned about that National Media Centre and the dearth of information they put out. But that's not the only way working journalists talk to police. You know, we do still talk to police on the ground.
But what could they be doing better? Like, as you say, they're sensitive cases. They don't want journalists to know about them while they're working on them.
That's right. But we help police out in appeals for information. Sometimes some more information, I think, coming from them would be good. A little bit more give and take.
George, thanks so much for the story and thanks for that information tonight.
Thanks, Karen.
That's George Block. He's the police reporter for the Otago Daily Times.